It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and man, oh man, do we have a lot to talk about. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com, and podcast of the shows can be found at the website, KimMunson.com. Today, we're going to go through some of the headlines. I'm going to be talking with a woman in this first segment that actually was deactivated from a social media platform on something that she posted. That's going to be really interesting. And then in the second segment, we will be talking with Andy Berger. She's the founder of Beulah's Place, which is a wonderful organization that is helping kids that are on the streets. And then Patty Kurgan, our researcher, has written an excellent op-ed, The Skip of a Heartbeat. You will not want to miss that. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And we are seeing the continued socialization of some of the key things, key sectors in our economy that have that make our lives better. It's transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, and healthcare. And we are seeing what socialism looks like right now. There's been this kind of romance of that narrative of socialism. We are seeing what it really is like. I have friends that have immigrated from other countries that were either socialist or communist, and they say this is what it's like, that there you wait in line to go into the store, there's empty shelves, and all of a sudden, this whole romance with socialism, the Band-Aid's been ripped off, producer Steve, and I don't think people like what they see.
Well, I know I don't. It's a little unnerving to go in and you know, just, I mean, this is maybe a little bit too homegrown for you, but you know, last Friday, it's our usual day to go to the grocery store, and we sit down and we write a grocery list, and I'm thinking, I can't do this if I don't know what's there, because I can't depend on certain things being there. So it was just a kind of a different vantage point of seeing the problem.
Well, you know, and the other thing about this, we're seeing what socialism is like, but just think about if the new Green Deal was in place, and that, in fact, while we are all at home, that we had intermittent electricity, we couldn't be working on our computers, at least half the economy is still working from home. We've got to get through this as quickly as possible and get people back to work. But, Steve, can you imagine on top of all this, that we didn't have reliable and affordable and efficient energy?
Well, I can't, because, well, I just can't, because it's not something we're used to seeing. I usually spend my time in the morning between, say, 5 and 5:45, whenever, you know, you make contact, just studying the stuff that Patty sends over. And reading through each one of those articles, it just becomes more apparent of how much of a disruption we're seeing. And yeah, could it be worse? That's the part that grabs you the most. Yeah, it could be worse, but it's bad enough as it is.
It really is. And in a way, I've done so much work with World War II veterans. And I think back, there was rationing back in World War II. The country really came together. And it's very telling when we have politicians that, instead of trying to pull on the same side of the rope, that they're actually trying to nip at our leadership right now. This is a time that we need to come together. And so it's very telling. And again, the veil is off. We're going to walk through this, and then we're going to look back, and we're going to see who stood for freedom, who actually was trying to protect people, and who was actually using this crisis to increase their power. So very quickly, I always want to say thank you to the team, to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, for all your support and good work. And then to each of you listeners, you're each treasured, you're valued. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our quote for today, our inspiration wisdom, is from Dale Carnegie. He was an American writer and lecturer and the developer of courses in self-improvement, salesmanship, corporate training, public speaking, and interpersonal skills. He was born into poverty on a farm in Missouri. He was the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, a bestseller that remains popular today. He also wrote How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, Link in the Unknown, and several other books. He was born in 1888. He died in 1955. And this is what he said, Steve. He said, the way to defeat fear, decide on a course of conduct and follow it. Keep so busy and work so hard that you forget about being afraid. I think that's very appropriate for today, Steve.
But never say that this show is not educational, because I, you know, that phrase, how to win, the title of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I didn't know that was a real book. I mean, I've heard the phrase kicked around when someone is usually being hammered about, you know, your people skills are really not that good. How to Win Friends and Influence People, that's not you.
Well, you know what? And that might be a book for people to read while they are at home. And so make sure you're reading good books, not just junk.
There's okay? No end to things that people should be doing. And I have to confess, I've been scouring the depths of YouTube and finding some very good things to view, historical things. And it's just, it's out there if you want to go find it.
Well, you know, one of these things I should do is I need to clean my garage, so I might work on that. So, okay, are you ready for the funnies?
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a two-part. Today is one, and the tomorrow will be the second. A French teacher split the class into two groups, male and female, and asked them to decide for themselves whether computer should be masculine or feminine. Each group was asked to give four reasons for the recommendations. The men's group decided that computer should definitely be of the feminine gender, la computer, because one, no one but their creator understands their internal logic. Two, the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. Three, even the smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for immediate later retrieval. And four, as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. Ha ha. Okay, I want to jump over. You didn't even laugh at that, Steve. You didn't think that was funny?
Well, the drummer was doing his thing. You couldn't hear it, but he was doing his thing.
Okay.
But hey, I would say in a hearty amen.
Okay. Okay. Hey, I want to jump over, and I have Erin Will on the line. And she had just a really interesting experience with one of the social media platforms. Erin Will, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us what happened. I find this just kind of fascinating.
Well, I wanted to create a place that would unite people and stand on what makes us America and unique, as we're being forced to separate at this point. And my first inclination was to go to social media because it can spread the word the quickest. And I ended up putting it on a local neighborhood app that we have. And within 24 hours, I got lots of activity, but then the post was taken down. So I thought, well, that was interesting. You know, potentially there was a mistake. Maybe, you know, something happened. I get it. So I'll post it again. And again, lots of activity, but then 24 hours from that, my post was not necessarily taken down. My account was fully disabled.
Well, what did you ask people to do?
Well, I'm starting essentially a place for people to stand together every day for 30 days, beginning April 1st at noon every day, wherever they are. To simply unite on a song, one single song, that can bring us together in this time of separation. And that song is God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. And so many people have devices, so I just assumed everyone just, you know, use the device you have and play it, or if you know the song, sing it. And we can stand together for each other, for one another, for America as the united people, in order to bring together this situation so that we can rise above and come out of this together, rather than fighting and fury. We can fight and we can unite instead of fight.
Okay, so you are saying starting tomorrow at noon, wherever you are, for people to stop and just play that song to start to unite us. I think that's a fabulous idea.
Thank you.
So how can all of us help to make this happen?
Well, there's lots of ways to help. I've got a link for support, for financial support, if you feel like that's something that you can do. This is a time of crisis for most people, so I don't expect that to be the first and foremost way to help. But I'd like to give a shout out to Master Entertainment, Denver Dynamic DJ. He has stepped forward and is taking his mobile DJ to play the song in different locations throughout Denver every day at noon. And so if you have loudspeakers, if you have a platform like you guys are where we can reach the public, if you have a social media presence that is essentially reaching more people. We've spoken with people in Utah and Oklahoma and Texas and Virginia, and they're all getting on board. We want to make this a national thing so that we can all come together during this time when we feel so separated and so distant.
Well, I think that it's a wonderful idea, and I'm just a little shocked that your account was deactivated on one of the social media platforms. It's kind of weird to me.
I thought it was weird, too. I've been, you know, some of the comments that were posted whenever I made this were very attacking and very derogatory and even threatening in some ways. And I'm really just trying to create a place so that we don't have to turn into other countries that are turning to riots and people fighting each other because they're in so much turmoil internally that this doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem like what we should be doing right now. And instead of creating a place that is adding to that turmoil, I wanted to bring people together so they have a way to express all these feelings that they're feeling, and all these unusual situations can create some serious chaos. And I want to prevent my 6-year-old son from being faced with danger, my family from being attacked in some way. And I wanted to create a place where we're peacefully expressing who we are as Americans, and that's our freedom.
Oh, I absolutely love that. So starting tomorrow at noon, just stop and play God Bless the USA. God bless you, Aaron Will. Let's stay in touch.
Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate your opportunity.
Absolutely. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Andy Berger, founder of Beulah's Place. She's doing some important work helping teens that are on the streets. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and like us on Facebook. I am so excited to have on the line with me Andy Berger. She is the founder of Beulah's Place. And even though we have all of this focus on the COVID-19 Wuhan virus situation out there, things still are the same for some of the most vulnerable. So, Andy Berger, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim. Such an honor to be on with you.
So you are the founder of Beulah's Place. Tell us a bit about that, Andy.
Sure. What we do with Beulah's Place and have for the last 11 years is we rescue at-risk homeless teens that are on the streets because that is the safest place they were able to find compared to what they were running from, whether it was severe abuse, trafficking, criminal predators. So they have absolutely no safe person in their life to help them. And so what we do is we intercede. We have a safe house system. We house the adult teens, the 18, 19-year-olds. We can't house the minors, but we do help them. And for all of them, we help provide jobs. We get them food, clothing, dental, medical, whatever they need in that moment. So in a perfect world, we wouldn't have this issue. But since it's not a perfect world, you know, we have been fairly successful once they graduate our program that they are able to go out independently and live with very minimal to no assistance. And a lot of it is because we get them stabilized and focus them on their future and hope, you know, that they all have one. And so that's what we've done.
Okay. And where is Beulah's Place located, Andy?
We are located in Redmond, Oregon. We've actually served kids from all over the country. If they get to Oregon or they get to Central Oregon where we're at, we will help them.
Okay. And, you know, you mentioned the age 18 and 19. These are young people that really in some ways kind of fall through the cracks from the system, the legal system that we have in place. And once they get to 18 or 19, they're still, you know, they still need stability, but they kind of fall through the cracks. So this is a real critical age.
It is definitely a critical age because the services usually stop for them. Legally, they're an adult, and people expect them just to know what to do, but yet they're still kids because everyone that we've rescued, everyone that we've interacted with has been sexually abused, violated it to horrific extent. So they are still dealing with all of that, and yet they're supposed to figure out how to feed themselves, how to rent in high rent markets and things like that. And that's the same even with the virus. They don't have a choice. They live in unsanitary conditions if they don't have someplace like Beulah's Place to intercede for them.
And so you mentioned COVID-19 or the Wuhan virus, and, you know, there's this, you know, movement here in America to really kind of clean our act up as far as, you know, restaurants and bars and businesses, everybody's wiping things down. But these kids are still really at risk, aren't they?
They're very much at risk. And so for the sex traffic victims that we come across, you know, for some of them, they'd rather get the virus and just die peacefully than where they're at. And it sounds rough, but that's the truth. But for the other kids that are out there, yes, they don't have a choice who they're exposed to or what they touch. You know, they're lucky if they get food that day. And so when we get them, obviously hygiene is a big issue, but now it's even more of an issue. And with everyone being quarantined, we can't put them in a safe house. So they are out there. And while we can give them supplies on the street, so to speak, if we come across or they call in for help, you know, we have drop areas that they can pick up stuff. It's still very difficult to protect these young people, and they can't walk into urgent care. You know, they can't just say, hey, I think I'm sick. Can you test me?
Wow. Now, Beulah's Place, you have a personal story that has really been kind of the bedrock for all of this. What is that, Andy Berger?
Yes. Before there was a term, human trafficking or sex trafficking, I was trafficked by all immediate and extended family members from ages 6 months to 17 years old. And in the 60s and 70s, they just didn't have, no one talked about it. They barely talked about child abuse. So by the time I was five, Kim, that was my first attempt at suicide because I just wanted out. I just wanted to be at peace.
That takes my breath away that this could start at such a young age. I think it's almost beyond comprehension for some people.
It usually is, and I understand that, which is why I try and tell my story, you know, a little bit more gently. But again, there are people that have depraved natures, and trafficking is based on greed or perversion. In this case, it would have been perversion. If they had known they could have made money at it, that probably would have changed it a lot. But in this particular situation, so in my life, God interceded, in other people's lives, it might be something else. But the last time my birth mother tried to take my life, I was 17. So it was not a safe place. There was no place to go to. The couple times I did try to run, I got sent back, and it was even worse than when I left. So in my situation, you know, living, if I lived, I won. If I died, they won. But sometimes, you know, we have 5 kids a day that die every day in this country of child abuse, and most of them are under the age of 5.
So, Andy, this is quite a story, though. Here you are now. You have healed from something so horrific. How did that happen?
I think a lot of it was choice, because in our lives, no matter what happens to us, we have a choice to react or respond. I mean, we can choose to get healing, which is very difficult, and I'm not saying it lightly. Everyone wants it, but not everybody wants to do the work. It's horrible to have to go through all of that, but with the right people, counselors, whoever, you can do that, you know. So my faith and my redheaded tenacity moved me forward. I went to law school thinking I would save other kids like me, and realized that that really wasn't the format, because you know, it's more about power and who wins and tells the best story, not necessarily about justice. So I went back to business, and that's where I began to use it more. But my goal is to make sure these kids don't have to wait till they're in their 30s and in a bad marriage like I was, you know, that they have a chance at 18, 19, 20, and even younger, before they have their families and their babies. And so we've been all volunteer-based for 11 years, Kim, and we've been able to get a 92% success rate of these kids moving forward, having careers, starting their own families in a much better way than they would have.
So how many kids have come through Beulah's Place, Andy?
We have housed 39, and we have helped 200 to 300 minors with the same medical, dental, food, clothing. We just aren't licensed to house them. We're just average people out here doing what we do. We did buy a building last year, and we're hoping to turn that very soon into the prototype for a teen center, a teen community center that is specifically dedicated to the needs of at-risk homeless teens. So they have a neutral place to walk into instead of committing suicide or getting lost in society or becoming, you know, a criminal and doing what was done to them.
So out of all these kids, though, that have come through, you've had over a 90% success rate in helping them. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Yes, you did, in terms of them staying independent and being able to take care of themselves with minimal to no assistance, no excesses, runs to the ER, not leaning on other resources from communities. And the best part, Kim, is that every single one of these kids that we have helped have given back to community.
So, Andy Berger, how can people help you? You know, I think in some ways we're very self-focused during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, yet I see all kinds of examples where people are looking outside themselves, but how could people help you and Beulah's Place?
They can go directly to our website, beulahsplace.org, B-E-U-L-A-H-S, place.org. There are hotlines, there's information, and of course they can donate directly to our 501c3. It takes us about $1,500 to $1,800 per teen to put them through phase one of our program, which is the housing and support part. And so we appreciate every dollar there. The other way is my book, A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to Rescue, provides 45% of proceeds back to these victims, and it's available on Amazon.com. So if somebody's quarantined at home, they want a book to read, they want to be inspired, or they want to inspire someone else, they can certainly go to Amazon.com and get the book, A Fragile Thread of Hope. And then, you know, finally, if somebody has extras, it doesn't matter where they are in the country, you can always dial up online delivery services. All my nonprofit and other nonprofits desperately need supplies that we can't get, because a lot of folks have hoarded or overbought. And so send one of our shelters, you know, toilet paper or, you know, antiseptics or anything like that. So there's lots of ways people can help from home.
Okay, Andy Berger, thank you so much. And that is Beulah's Place. And again, what is that website, Andy?
Beulahsplace.org.
Okay, that's Beulahsplace.org. Thank you, Andy. Let's stay in touch and keep up this beautiful, amazing work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh, my. I tell you what, it is just amazing. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. That is amazing. That's amazing work that Andy Berger's doing there with Beulah's Place. It's touching.
Yes, I like that, and I like the play the Proud to Be an American song starting tomorrow at noon, too.
Most definitely. But, hey, Jason, before we get into what you wanted to share with everybody, I had a Spencer moment.
Oh, I got to hear this.
Okay. And explain to people what our Spencer moment is, Jason.
Well, I was coming to the studio one morning and stopped at the Ulta right off of 225 and Iliff, and there was a young fellow working there named Spencer, and he was just so nice and so friendly and efficient that he just made my entire day. And we talked about it on the air that day, Kim, and now every time we, you know, run into somebody that's just exceptional like that, we call it another Spencer moment. So we've started a trend.
We have.
Two followers, and me and you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I have a Spencer moment. I was okay. Over at my neighborhood Safeway the other day, and I just stopped and mentioned to the manager there and it was one of the managers. I said, I just want to say thank you. Please let everyone know that's working here how much we appreciate you. And she said, well, why don't you call Jim, the store manager, tomorrow, which I did. And I just said, thank you. I so appreciate it. And he said that he's been in the business for 45 years. He's not been thanked so many times as he is these days, and that they are just there to serve, and that they're working hard to make sure that they get the shelf stocked, and that they are just there to serve. And it just really touched my heart, Jason McBride.
Well, I think that is a great thing, and I've noticed the same thing over at my local King Supers. They're really holding it together and going above and beyond. So, you know, you kind of find heroes everywhere, don't you?
You certainly do. And you, did you ever think that they would be the ones that were stocking the shelves and driving the trucks? I actually did. We should have. So yesterday, let's talk a little bit about the market. You'd mentioned that it was trying to find a bottom. It actually was up a little bit yesterday. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we've still got constructive action, Kim. I'd still like to see that powerful up day with heavier volume. And yesterday, we got, you know, a pretty decent up day, but the volume was very lagging, which shows, at least for now, at least a lack of commitment from the big institutions. Now, I could be misreading it a little bit because the volume has been extremely elevated since about the middle end of February. So if it's just kind of calming back down to average levels, it could look like it's lagging for a few days as things calm back down. So it's a little bit tough to read, Kim, but I like the constructive action we've had again. I think it started on St. Patrick's Day. If we could blast above the highs that we saw day before yesterday, which would have been, what, Friday as far as trading goes, and get a nice pop in volume, I would feel a lot better, at least for the short term.
Okay. And Jason, what should people be doing right now? Many people are, you know, at home. What would you recommend people do? Maybe take a look at their finances.
I think they should. If, let's say, for example, that you in your 401k, that you had a 60% stock, 40% bond mix, and you had kind of done it yourself. It's not one of these target date funds. Well, you may be out of whack right now because stocks have come down, you know, about 22% on average since this sell-off started. And bonds, yeah, they're kind of about the same if you're looking at the aggregate bonds. So it could be a time where you need to rebalance a little bit, you know, sell off a little bit of the bonds, add a little bit more to stocks while they're cheap to get your allocation back in balance. That's one thing you could look at doing. And if you're doing individual stocks, it's a good time to really study the businesses, if the stocks are down at this point, is it worth maybe adding a little bit more to them, or maybe it's a good time to cut something loose that's been annoying you for a long time and replace it with something that might be better? So it's good to do detective work when the market's behaving like this, and kind of build a watch list for what you might go after when it starts to act better.
Well, and so you and your team over at Presidential Wealth Management could be like Sherlock Holmes, right, on helping people do detective work on their portfolios.
Sure, absolutely. I'm not as big a fan of tea as he is, and I don't have a Dr. Watson, but yeah, we could do that. Sherlock Presidential.
There you go. So a couple of ways to get a hold of you is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Jason, what is that website that we have together?
We have one. It's AIR, that's AIRPresidential.com. That's AIRPresidential.com, Kim.
So be constructive while you're sitting at home. Clean the garage, clean the basement, take a look at your finances. You know, there's all kinds of things to do. Read a great book. There's all kinds of things to do. So, Jason, thanks so much.
All right, Kim, have a great show. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Patty Kurgan does the bulk of the research for the show. She does an amazing job. And she's also does fantastic op-eds. But the one that she has coming out is a little different, The Skip of a Heartbeat. And so when we come back, we'll be talking with Patty Kurgan, and you won't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and on the line with me is our researcher. That is Patty Kurgan. Patty, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for all the good work that you do. And you've done some amazing op-eds, a lot of research in those. But this one that you've done is a little different. And so what was, what really started your thoughts on this particular op-ed?
Well, as we all know, the coronavirus has taken over the headlines, and that's all we read about. And as we just continually put these thoughts in our heads about, you know, it's gloom and doom, people start to become more negative. And I believe that words are very powerful and that we need to substitute the negativity that we see right now, not to say that we cannot put our hearts there and be sympathetic to what's going on, but we need to put a lot of positive thoughts in our minds to contradict what's going on in terms of just our mental well-being and our physical health. And I personally go back to my faith when things get really bad. And I was just thinking, what can I do and what kind of message can I send out to others that will make them look a little bit different to the events that are now happening?
Well, and, so, you know, we're in such a different time. It's almost like we are in a war almost. All of a sudden, things have just changed significantly. Where we all know people that are losing their jobs or taking cuts in pay, but there's positive things, and that's some of the things that you mentioned here. You know, I find it really interesting to see families out walking together instead of, remember all the busyness of trying to get the kids to soccer practice or to, you know, music lessons or whatever it is. It's almost like we're taking a pause from all that busyness, and I think we're going to come out a little different on the other side as we get through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing.
I agree. I walk a lot, so that's not abnormal for me. What I have seen, though, is exactly what you're saying, is that families are out there and they're walking together and they're laughing. I've never seen so many people outside. I walk the Cherry Creek Trail, and there's tons of families out there, or just kids being goofy, walking together. And it's good to see that people are socially interacting. With the internet the way it is today, a lot of people are right in front of their computer playing games or Xbox, whatever. And it's fun to see that people are actually conversing instead.
You know, that brings up something interesting, Patty. I had to go over to the post office yesterday, and there is a public golf course that's in our neighborhood. And I found it so interesting that I saw this sign that was up there, and it said closed due to the edict of the Tri-County Health Department. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is wide open spaces, and to have that sign there, I found it really interesting. And so we kind of have a veil. The veil's been lifted on people that want to kind of use their power. And when we get through this thing, we need to make sure that we make some changes on government having this much power, because that just didn't seem like that made sense to me, Patty.
I agree. You and I talk all the time about the overreach of government, and I, and you as well, believe in personal responsibility. So if I am sick or I feel as though I might have this virus, I'm not going to be stupid and spread it around. As you know, I take care of my grandson, so I'm very careful because I don't want to give it to him. I'm very fortunate that I still get to watch him on a daily basis, and I know a lot of grandparents don't have that opportunity, but I do. But, you know, personal responsibility is key to all this, and that's why as the government puts more and more restrictions on us, I think freedom-loving people are starting to be proactive. I don't want to say reactive, because part of freedom is being proactive. And we're more apt, though, to show that, you know what, there's a limit as to what you can put on me.
Well, and don't again, you find... Oh, go ahead.
And I was going to say, and again, with the Tri-County Health, these are unelected bureaucrats who are making the decisions. So we have no recourse. We can't say we're not going to vote for you next time. And that's a hard idea to digest, but that's where we've gotten, and we have to start taking that power away from all these bureaucrats.
Well, and what you're describing is called the administrative state or the bureaucratic state. And we've seen this where through statute, our elected representatives have actually abdicated their responsibility to unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. And we've just kind of let that happen. And part of it, I think, Patty, is because politicians don't want to be held accountable for their decisions. It's easier to push those things that might be somewhat politically, I mean, people would have questions about it. They push that off so that they can get reelected. That's so antithetical to the American idea. The American idea is based on a Republican, and so a republic, not a Democrat or a republic, but a republic, Republican form of government where we have representatives that are accountable to the people. And I hope as we walk through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, we see what has actually happened and we go to work to walk this back.
Absolutely. And again, as people are sitting home, they can go to the Colorado State Legislative website and they can see all the bills that are just hanging out there at this time. And it's hard. I mean, we've done over 500 bills this session, so you don't need to go through everyone. But they actually have a spreadsheet. You can go down and maybe pick one, two, three that you feel strong about and start researching that bill and then contact your legislators and say, because there's some good bills out there, say, hey, I really like this bill. And then bills that you totally disagree with, call and let them know that you disagree with that one. Now's the time that we can do this. You can think of it as though most people probably spend an hour commuting back and forth to work. So that 1 hour may be spent on what's going on at the state capitol, because that 1 hour per day for the next month might really save you a lot of freedom and money at the end of the day. It's important to be involved.
It really is. You know, up till this time, I can remember people were, they were so busy with their lives. I mean, the stock market was at, a record high. Unemployment was really low. We were taking our shelves at our grocery store was full. I don't think we really understood just what it takes to make all this happen. But as you and I go through all this research, and then you had been researching a bill of the day that we've been bringing forward up until the legislature went into temporary adjournment, we saw bills that were going to make things more difficult for businesses, and those costs that the businesses incur are ultimately go to the consumer. Well, we are seeing the consumer is really being hurt right now. So many people that are being furloughed or losing their jobs. And then you take a look at the effects of some of this legislation. And I'm really grateful that we have this pause so people can understand what is being proposed down at the State House.
Yes. So, as you know, my history is I grew up in a family-owned business and worked with it for many years, and it was trucking, warehousing, and air freight. So today, our truckers are part of our heroes. They're the ones that are working around the clock to get supplies, food, medical equipment to the places that need to be there. And in order to do that, there were certain restrictions that had to be lifted. And they did, so that the truckers can get the goods to the end consumer. And that's one of the things that we're seeing, is that a lot of our regulations that are very burdensome to businesses, especially small businesses, are being lifted so that we can work quicker and get to the end goal. So even Abbott just came out with new testing where within 2 minutes you'll know whether or not you have the virus. So this is all good, and it goes back to what you talk about. The veil is off. People are becoming aware of how regulated the government is in many industries. They've got their hands all over. And a lot of it has to do with dollars, because I know in the trucking industry, there's so many stamps. Every state, we have to get a stamp. So if you go through a state, you have to buy that stamp, and the logs that people have to keep to prove before you can only drive X amount of hours, and they've lifted that so that drivers can go longer because they know that equipment has to get there, or the food. You know, what we consider resources that we just take for granted, that again, the grocery store is stacked. And it's the warehouse facility is the one that goes to production. It goes in a warehouse and then it gets trucked to us. And all these people are so important to the supply chain. We should never forget their importance. In fact, one of the things that we're learning is it's not really the college professor that's important. It's the clerk at the grocery store and people at the restaurant who's making the food so that you can pick it up or have it delivered. It's, there's a lot of great people in this, and none of them should not have been taken for granted, and certainly should not be taken for granted in the future.
Well, Patty, I so agree with you on that. Let's go to break. When we come back, you had mentioned in your piece, the skip of a heartbeat, and you just mentioned it as well, that the regulatory burdens are being dismantled brick by brick. But one of the bills that had been proposed down at the State House was a biodiesel bill. And so let's go to break and let's just talk a little bit more about that. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Patty Kergan. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home
because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business this month and will be reopening on March 31st, 3 to 8 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Beginning March 31st, call 720-381-6663 to place your curbside to-go order or stop in to grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663. Or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter so that you get all this great information that we are disseminating out there. On the line with me is Patty Kurgan. She does the research for the show, does an amazing job. And thank you, Patty, for all the work that you do on that.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me do it.
And let's talk more about this op-ed that you did, The Skip of a Heartbeat. And I would highly recommend that, let's see, it's going to be on the website, I think, at the end of the week, right? If I remember right, and then we're going to put it out in the newsletter this week. So that's another reason to sign up for that. You mentioned that the regulatory burdens are being dismantled brick by brick. And it's astonishing to me that we haven't realized how regulations have increased the cost of things. In fact, we know from Randall O'Toole just in housing that very possibly 40% of the cost of new housing in the Denver metro area, of course, this was before all this, was for rules and regulations. And so that's pretty high. Colorado Board of Realtors or the Realtors Association, they put that number at 25%. Either way, it's a lot. As we were talking about affordable housing, when you think about rules and regulations increasing the cost that much, it's significant. But over here on the trucking industry, now when people go to the store, there is some angst. Is there going to be the goods that I want to buy? You know, are the shelves going to be empty? And it's truckers that are getting those goods to the stores. And we had this piece of legislation that is proposed, and hopefully it will die when they come back. But it is a biodiesel mandate, which would increase the cost of diesel and also possibly having to redo some of the engines and things for our diesel trucks. It just doesn't make sense to me, but we can now see that that would increase the cost. What's your comments on that, Patty?
You're absolutely correct. It will increase costs. So it is Senate Bill 20-038. It's the statewide biodiesel blend requirement diesel fuel sales. And so what it's calling for is starting in 2021, that any diesel fuel sold and used between June 1st and September 15th of each year, it has to have a 5% blend of biodiesel in it. And then starting in the year 2023, it would have to have a 10% biodiesel blend. And what you're saying is exactly right. A lot of the trucks today, the engines are not equipped to take either blend, a 5% or a 10% of the biodiesel. So all those trucks would have to be retired, and people would have to buy new trucks. Even before this virus, it would have been very difficult for a lot of the trucking companies, especially the smaller companies. And now I don't even know how people would be able to afford it. And the fact of the matter is, if it can be afforded, the trucking companies are just going to pass it on. to their client, and let's say it's King Soopers, and then King Soopers is going to add it on to the cost of the goods. And what's really interesting is in the bill itself, again, going to how minute they want to control what they do, there is even a requirement that there has to be a label on a bill of lading stating exactly what the percentage of the biodiesel blend is.
So we have to ask this question. Yeah. So, Patty, we have to ask this question, and you're mentioning it takes time and it takes money. Now, right now, as we're walking through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, do you think most people want the trucking industry to have to be taking the time and the expense, which is going to slow things down in getting our goods to our stores? Or do you think people love the reliability of those trucks moving the goods to the store so that we can get through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to me, but there still are elitist politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that I think still are going to come out on the other side wanting to control things.
Exactly. The people want reliability, and especially today, if you raise the cost on goods, with so many people losing their jobs right now or being furloughed, that is, to increase the cost of consumer goods, you just don't do that. And not only that, going back to the trucking industry, you're going to put out even more companies out of business because they're not going to be able to afford to buy a new fleet of trucks. Even though that's only two trucks, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for this company to meet this requirement of a biodiesel blend. And you know what, if people want to do it, if trucking companies want to do it, they can do it. They can do it on their own. Just don't force it on those who can't do it due to monetary costs or just don't want to do it. And again, I don't even know if it's actually proven how effective these will be. So there could be even more of a delay just because the 10% biodiesel might actually not be as efficient. I don't know that. We don't have all the information that we need on that. But there's a risk here, too. And I think we have enough risks out there today. We don't need to add another one, especially when it comes to the resources that people really need, a lot of basic goods.
Absolutely. So, Patty, we just have a few more minutes left, and let's go back to the skip of a heartbeat. You mentioned this regulatory burdens being lifted, but there's a real faith component to this piece that you've written, the skip of a heartbeat.
Yes, I really believe that people are turning back to God. I think some people left a little bit their faith. And due to the crisis that we are in now, they're going back to God and they're praying or having their own personal conversation with God, which I think is important. We have to stay positive and have positive thoughts in our heads and know that our family, our friends, and God loves us. And I believe that God has his hand on this, and we will make it through. We're Americans. We're resilient. We persevere. We've had tough times, in fact, tougher times in the past. And you know what? Sometimes tough times bring out the best of people, which we are seeing. And we may actually come out ahead when this is all over. It might take a while, but again, we as Americans, in our character, we will be good.
Well, and one of your quotes in your op-ed is, it is in our DNA to strive for excellence. And it really is. That's part of the American idea. So things are not static. There's a lot of creativity going on, and you mentioned some very positive things there as well, Patty Kergan. And so highly recommend. I think we're going to have that in the newsletter this week. People can sign up for that at kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. Patty, just your final thought.
Stay positive. If you stay positive, you're being optimistic, you're extending that energy onto others, and we'll make it through.
Most definitely. So, Patty Kirgan, thank you so much for all the good work you do. And be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. We will have that up at the end of the week. And sign up for our newsletter because we'll have that in the newsletter as well. So, Patty, thanks so much. You have a great day.
Okay. You too.
Okay. And as we are closing the show here, Dale Carnegie said, from his book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, he said, so let's be content to live the only time we can possibly live, from now until bedtime. So today, you like that?
You know, I come back to you every time with one of these, when you drop one of those out there that are so applicable. There's got to be a word for this, how words spoken very long time ago are so applicable to today.
Well, for sure. So again, let's be content to live the only time we can possibly live, from now until bedtime. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. So tomorrow, April 1st, beginning at noon, step outside and play God Bless the USA, and God bless you, and God bless America. This is Kim Munson signing off. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell